everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom Radio. We're so happy you could join us today for our fitness article, The Truth About Tracking. And we are on page 34 of your magazine, so if you have it with you, you might want to open it so you can follow along with me. And today and tomorrow, we're going to be talking about, of course, as I said, fitness. And to discuss this with me in our studio today, I have
Pauline here, always glad to get to be a part of our radio program.
Welcome, Pauline.
Thanks.
And
Simon. And I think this is an interesting topic because I like to track things.
You want to put that, don't you, Simon?
Yeah. I mean, you know.
He tracks a lot of things. I not fitness.
Things.
Do you track fitness?
Yeah, sure.
And what else do you track?
Finances and where I go and just all kinds of different stuff.
Do you actually look at it?
Yeah, I do. From
where did
time
you go
to time.
Yesterday?
I actually set different goals, so, explore different routes and different, so I know, you know, the fastest way home, for example. I try different ways home and, you know, things like that.
And when you track things, is it always with your phone? Is it usually a digital tracking?
The phone is the most convenient way to do it.
Okay.
But, you know, that's a lengthy conversation that has nothing to do with this article. So
well, this
maybe
is about
we'll
tracking.
Write an article about that in the future.
Right. This is track, but it has specifically to do with fitness. And so if you're interested in really how fit you are or how you can measure different activities you take in or how much you eat, this article is for you. And I think it's something that we're all concerned about. And this is just another way of, you know, well, I think the subtitle says it all, the stark truth. You know, it's the real truth about what you're putting in your body or what you're really doing for exercise. I think some of us might be shocked at what we don't do.
Yeah, some of us might be happier not knowing.
Yeah, sometimes ignorance is bliss. That's a saying in English. It's usually not true, but if you want to have that bag of chips, maybe it is good. Well, why don't we read our article? Let's read our first section of our article. And again, we're on page 34. And if you have your digital device with you, you might want to find it and follow along as well.
The truth about tracking. Five stark truths from tracking everything for 30 days. Paying attention to numbers has never been my specialty. While I generally know which foods are healthy and I enjoy challenging workouts, I like to rely on my body and taste buds as my guide instead of counting calories or strapping on a heart rate monitor. But recently, I noticed my energy flagging and the scale creeping up. Realizing something was off, I consulted my doctor. He found some nutritional deficiencies, suggested supplements, and told me to track exactly what I'm eating. So, I fired up the MyFitnessPal app on my iPhone and put in the calorie and macronutrient settings my MD recommended. I also bought a Fitbit Alta HR to take a closer look at my activity level, heart rate, and sleep habits. Challenge of charting. Honestly, the thought of converting my exercise and eating patterns into statistics, percentages, and pie charts was a little intimidating. There's no wiggle room with numbers. They don't sugarcoat facts or justify decisions.
Okay, well, we are talking about the truth about tracking. And once again, what we're tracking here is our health. And it says five stark truths from tracking everything for 30 days. And I just mentioned this a little bit, but a stark truth is what?
It's probably not a pleasant truth. It's not sugar-coated. We're going to get to that word later, or that phrase later in our reading, but it's very straightforward and maybe difficult to deal with.
Okay. Yeah. It's the entire truth. One of the definitions I looked at said the extreme truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the bare truth with nothing around it at all to make it look better. So we see here that paying attention to numbers has never been this author's specialty, but it is Simon's specialty.
I do like numbers. It's true. It's true, I do.
Well, actually, it's nice that the two of us are here because I would say I am the opposite. It's when that first line really got me. I was like, yes, I understand this author. Numbers are not my specialty.
Well, it's just different personalities, right? Like Linda, during the introduction, you said, what was the phrase you used?
Ignorance is bliss. Only when it comes to eating chips.
That's right. But, you know, that's actually really true. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can be happy about things when you don't really understand what's going on. But while you were saying that and talking about that, I was thinking about the phrase, knowledge is power, because, you know, that's how I feel about tracking. Like, tracking lets you know what's really going on when you maybe can't trust your feelings on things or the way you feel that day. You can trust the numbers.
And I think that's really, I think both of those phrases are great for today. It's talking about how, yeah, I think a lot of us go through that, at least at a younger age, where ignorance is bliss. We're just going through life and we're not thinking about what we're eating. We're just really happy about eating whatever we want to. And that feels great until a moment where you really have to recognize that maybe you're not as skinny as you used to be, or you're getting out of breath a lot quicker than you used to when you walked upstairs or things. And then suddenly you have to recognize that something else is going on and maybe start to acquire some knowledge so that you don't end up with some really negative ultimate effects to ignoring the truth about what's going on.
And we talk about that being like a pattern with people too, you know, like if you suddenly find yourself in a bad situation, you're aware of it and uncomfortable. But if you slowly move into the bad situation, you don't notice it so much, right? So there's a thing that this writer says in the first paragraph. They say, yeah, the writer says, well, I generally know which foods are healthy and I enjoy challenging workouts. I like to rely on my body as my guide. And I just think, you totally cannot trust your reliance on your body as a guide at all. So for me, tracking is the way to go.
Well, it's like you said, right? I think extreme things, right? If you break a bone or something, your body's going to let you know there's something extremely amiss. Something is wrong. But yeah, if you're talking about very slow, long-term effects of eating poorly or not sleeping enough, because it's going to like incrementally, little by little, affect your body, you probably won't notice.
High blood pressure. Or, you know, any
number of
those things.
All of a sudden you end up with that, right?
Well, that's the thing. It's not that you get it all of a sudden. It's that you don't notice until you've got it really badly. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh. So.
Yes, I remember when you started tracking things, I asked you why you were doing. Mm-hmm. Because it was an extreme change for Simon, I asked him why he was doing what he was doing, and his response to me, I will never forget, was, I decided I want to live.
That's true. It's true.
So I think for a lot of us, maybe we need to take a stark look at our patterns of life and what we do, how we know, because as some people might rely on their body, as our author does, but some people don't, as Simon doesn't.
Well, to be honest, like, I've always been really good at having a laser focus on certain things and working really hard at certain things. But the problem with that is it's hard to be focused on all of the different possible problems at once.
Right.
And the nice thing about tracking is it basically lets you outsource those things to, for example, your phone, which can be monitoring all kinds of things and can, you know, let you know how things are going. So, you know, if you decide, oh, you know, today I have some time, I'm going to check this thing, you can actually see how it's been over the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just, right, guess and get a kind of a snapshot. It lets you see the entire story.
So that's something that maybe we want to consider if in looking at this article. Are you going to track, and how much does it mean to you? Here, let's go back to this first paragraph. It says that this person likes to rely on his body and taste buds. And what are taste buds?
Taste buds are what are on your tongue. It's what allows you to taste the flavors in foods.
Okay.
So what he means by that is he eats the things that taste good,
yeah,
that he likes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe that he thinks are healthy, right? So this idea that he can kind of intuit what's good for him. But and actually, I think this is a really interesting article because he kind of takes you where he started and what his general impulse is, and then we'll kind of share how he changed along the way to become a more believer in the tracking system, even though he acknowledges that personality-wise, it wasn't his first inclination to do
right.
Tracking.
So, I mean, it could be something we could all change into doing. And the reason that he started on this kind of journey is that he noticed that his energy was flagging and the scale creeping up. So if something is flagging, if you use it in this term, in this way as a verb, it means you become tired or less interested in something. So perhaps walking up those stairs is some saying you, it may be more tired or you're out of breath by the last flight of stairs. And also the scale where you weigh yourself was creeping up. This is a great term. It just means getting higher.
Yeah, slowly moving up. He was not getting skinnier.
Yes, he was gaining weight, okay? So realizing that something was off or not right, okay, he consulted his doctor, and what did he find, Pauline?
Well, he found some nutritional deficiencies, so some problems not having enough nutrition in his diet.
Okay, so what was the suggestion, Simon?
Well, the doctor suggested supplements. That basically means vitamins or things you take in addition to your normal food. And he was also told to track exactly what he's eating.
Okay, so his doctor actually recommended this for him. And that probably makes sense because, as we said before, he wasn't really into this. This wasn't his thing. But then his doctor recommended that he take this route. So he fired up, okay, he fired up the MyFitnessPal app on his iPhone and put in the calorie and macronutrient settings MyMD recommended. So we have a couple of interesting terms here.
Right.
If you fire something up, what do you do?
You're just getting it started. We use it, I think, a lot with machines, like fire up the computer, fire up something. Mm-hmm. It just needs to get it started.
No fire really involved.
No, not really.
The term does come from engines, though.
Right.
Like, you know, when you have to start the fire in a steam engine
to get it going, old steam trains.
So it's like an old phrase that now we've transferred to new technology.
Well, he fired up the MyFitnessPal and started putting in the calorie settings into this app. And actually says that he put in the macronutrient settings. When you see a word with macro in front, you know it's going to be something large, something big. If you look at our specialized terms, it tells us it's a type of food like protein or carbohydrates that are required in large quantities in our diet. So that's the large part. And the doctor had given him some specific amounts that his body needed, so he was able to put that in that so it could be tracked.
Okay. And then he also bought a Fitbit Alta HR to take a closer look at his activity level and heart rate and sleep habits. So this is a new generation of Fitbit that measures a lot more. I have one of the first generations one that, you know, measures tracks, how many steps you take and flights of stairs and things like that. But now it's his heart rate and his sleeping habits as well. So it's a lot more sophisticated. And then we see that he found charting challenging. So if you chart something, what are you doing, Simon?
You make a beautiful, beautiful visual representation of the numbers. So basically it means you take a list of numbers and you turn them into a picture so you can see a pattern.
And Simon loves to do that. If you ever go into his office, that is what you will see.
Although I wouldn't exactly call it a picture. Usually you think of a chart as like a pie chart or bars or graphs. I mean, we're not talking a Mona Lisa.
So I was giving
it's
a
all
simple
in perspective.
Word for visual representation, right? Visual representation is really what you would say.
One of us feels like, ooh, and the other one of us feels like, oh, it's beautiful.
I mean, you can even choose your own colors if you use Excel.
Well, we see here that this author thought that the thought of converting his exercise and eating patterns into statistics, percentages, and pie charts was how Pauline and I feel. Intimidating.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work, all these numbers, it sounds like math.
And you're a little afraid of it. It
takes courage to face the truth, though. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really what he gets into in this next sentence where he says, there's no wiggle room with numbers. They don't sugarcoat facts or justify decisions. So, you know, when you're going just by your gut, when you're just intuiting whether or not you're getting enough exercise or eating the right things, it's pretty easy to tell yourself, oh yeah, I mean, I think I'm
doing well.
I'm doing all right. But it's much more difficult to do that when you have numbers that are very clearly showing you falling short on the numbers of steps that your doctor told you to take, or when it shows that you ate way too much of one thing and not enough of another. It's a lot harder to justify it then.
And we have two great terms here. One is wiggle room. There's no wiggle room with numbers. And this is a useful expression that just means flexibility in your choice or how you feel about something. And the other one is sugarcoat. This is also, this is a vocabulary focus word that means it makes it sound better than it is. So if you take a really bitter pill and you put sugar on the outside of it, it tastes better. So if you take numbers and you make them look better, or you hear a fact and you want it to be more positive than you think it is, you do something to it or add something to it to make it easier to swallow or easier to accept. And that's kind of what we mean by sugarcoating it. Well, let's continue our reading, and we're going to read our first point here. And we're going to take a look at one of the things that he tracked.
What I discovered. Here's what I learned when I tracked what I ate, how much I moved, and how well I slept for 30 days. 1. Calories add up, even when I'm eating healthy. On the first day, I reached my calorie goal as I finished my afternoon snack. I quickly learned I was consuming more calories, carbs, and fats, and less protein than I should be. I started to reevaluate my choices, increasing my intake of lean proteins, veggies, and whole grains to even out my macronutrient balance. It was eye-opening to realize that even the healthiest foods can pack a lot of calories.
So we see here that our author discovered some surprising things when he decided to start tracking. And the first one was his food, that his calories were adding up. And that's what we count when we eat. We count the calories in food. And even when he was eating healthy, he was surprised. He reached his calorie goal on the very first day after his afternoon snack.
Right, which is discouraging, right? I mean, I'm sure he planned to have a nice dinner that evening, and all of a sudden all of that is extra more than he's supposed to be taking in. So that's kind of a wake-up call.
Right, and he learned that he was consuming more calories, carbs, and fats, and less protein than he should be. So he was keeping really close track of his eating, actually.
Mm-hmm. This is something I'm interested in, and I've thought about trying to figure out how to track what I eat. But it just seems, that part seems really overwhelming. I'm actually not so much scared of the numbers on that one as just the process of trying to figure out how to track it. And I don't know, it just seems really difficult.
I think especially with the combination of food that we put together, sometimes it's more difficult.
Right. And I know, like, in the United States, my friends who do tracking, they do a lot of, like, scanning barcodes from, like, the boxes of food or the various things that they get. Or when they go to restaurants, it's already, those restaurants are already inputted into the app so they can say where they went. But living in Asia, when I'm going to some small little dumpling shop or something, like, I don't know how to put that in.
Even the barcodes of things, for example, in a 7-Eleven, don't come up on most of those Western apps when you scan them. So it's almost impossible to get an accurate idea of what you ate if you're in the wild, like going about your daily life. If you're at home and you're kind of cooking all your meals and you can weigh how much of each thing, then it's okay, you can do it. But that's a lot of work, so.
You try tracking. Well, you track once in a while, right?
Yeah, I do from time to time just to kind of see how things are going, but it's always really hard, and it's always kind of inaccurate.
Do you think it's accurate enough to at least give you a vague picture?
Well, so I'll give you an example. If you go to a Family Mart convenience store and you grab the sweet potato, you know, you can enter sweet potato into your tracker, but there's a big difference in the size of those sweet potatoes, right? So it'll say small sweet potato, medium sweet potato, large sweet potato, but you still really don't.
It's all in your perception.
It's all very subjective, right? So you enter that in, and you kind of get an estimate. So over the day, what you're getting is kind of an estimate of how much you've eaten.
Which I suppose, especially for me, who's never done any tracking, that estimate is still some, it's worth something, right? At least it gives you the gist of an idea. Maybe if you're wildly out of balance on one thing, maybe you would say.
So the problem I've found with that is what you end up eating on days you're tracking is the same stuff, which is easy to track. So
you
don't eat actually what you normally would eat. You end up tracking like the things that are convenient and easy to enter into the app.
Oh, interesting. So it actually changes your patterns.
Yeah.
You're not really tracking what you normally eat. Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a big fan of tracking, but I'm a big fan of accurate tracking. And this one is definitely the thing that this author is tracking that is the hardest to do. And so I'm...
Well, this is written from the States because it's, it's published, and the perspective is from there. So it's easier to track there. Probably. And I think you can learn. I think what I took from this is what you can learn is where you're getting your calories from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting them, he found out it was more carbs and fats and less protein, you know, then he knows for himself in general that he needs to change what he's actually eating.
Yeah. And if you're eating packaged foods, it's really easy to track those things.
Right.
Like sugar or fat or.
Well, he said he needed to, I think this is true for all of us, he needed to increase his intake of lean proteins. And if something is lean, what does that mean?
That means that it doesn't have as much fat, right? It's a less fatty protein?
Right. When you buy meat, sometimes you can see the white fat on it. I always cut that off before I cook fat. Or if I make, like, hamburger, I wash it afterward to get rid of, like, excess fat on it or the excess oil on it. You know, fish and meat are in two different categories. But, yeah, that kind of fat I don't cut. But on, like, red meat in particular or chicken fat, yeah, I do cut that off.
It might also depend how things are prepared. So, like, if you're eating deep-fried sweet potato fries, right, they won't count necessarily as lean. I guess that's not protein either.
Yes,
so you need deep-fried beans or something. Nobody eats those. Okay, it's just meat.
All right, fair. Well, then I'm good on that one at least.
So he decided that he needed to increase what he ate in the way of lean proteins and vegetables. Veggies is a really common way people say vegetables, and whole grains in order to even out his macronutrient balance. So obviously what he was taking, and remember that macronutrient we looked at before, so it's types of food that are required in large quantities in a diet, like a protein or a carbohydrate, and he was getting them in the wrong way. And what did he find out about this? It was eye-opening to realize what, Simon?
Well, just that healthy foods can pack a lot of calories or have a lot of calories. So healthy foods can still make you fat.
If you eat too many of them,
right?
If
you eat too many of them, yeah.
And eye-opening is a nice phrase, right? It just means you didn't understand something before, and now your eyes are opened. You understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprising, and you realize something new.
Right. Well, let's take a look at the second point that he talks about. He also realized something else that was very eye-opening.
Two. I wasn't moving as much as I used to. I recently moved from New York City, where everyone walks, to Atlanta, where everyone drives, which took a major toll on my daily step count. Plus, I started working from home. I realized I had to be more intentional about fitting in movement if I wanted to hit my 10,000 step goal.
I think that New York we can liken to Taipei or to any big city in Asia where everyone walks. And it is kind of frightening when you go back to the States, to cities, and people get in their cars to drive two blocks. I mean, I live the city that I'm from. That's what people do. It's
well, yeah, when it snows and it's negative 30 degrees, Linda.
Well, but even when it's nice, you know.
No, you're right.
Well, not nice, but kind of nice. People just drive everywhere, and it can take a major toll on your daily step count. And if something takes a major toll, what does it do, Pauline?
Well, it just means that it lessens it, it suffers or is damaged. So your daily step count is no longer what it used to be. It suffers, it goes down dramatically.
Right, and anything, we can use this phrase, take a toll on something, not just for like step counting, but for other parts of your life as well. So this is a very good phrase to remember.
Yeah, a lot of times we use it for emotional well-being. You mm-hmm. can say like, oh, that accident or that tragedy really took a toll on her. And we just mean like it really hard on them, yeah.
Right. And also the other thing that happened, so this person moved to Atlanta where everyone drives, and then this person also started working from home. And my husband works from home, but actually I think it depends upon your personality. He is quite disciplined. He walks morning and night for quite some time to he doesn't count steps, but he also does it to exercise. Or after we eat out, if we eat out and have a large meal, he'll walk home from the restaurant from somewhere. Mm. And you have to really make an effort, though, to do this, because it's just easy to roll out of bed and roll to your desk and roll into the kitchen.
Yep.
That would be me.
Well, like you said, to make an effort or be intentional, right? You have to really think about it. It's not going to just automatically
right.
happen. As opposed to those of us who live in a city where, you know, you don't own a car, so you have to walk, and you don't work in your own apartment, so you have to walk out the door and at least walk to the MRT and then get off and walk to work. Like, there's some of that that's just forced into your day without any thought. But if you start to lose those things, then it does require thought. It requires intention. Otherwise, yeah, you just won't do it.
Right. And it's interesting that this author thought that he was actually moving a lot and he realized that he wasn't. Well, there are three more items that he tracks, and we're going to read about those tomorrow. So we hope that you'll join us as we continue our discussion on the truth about tracking in fitness. But it's time to say bye for now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.